Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, my friend. Oh, can tell them to my Lord and hear my burdens bear. Through the pain and the strain, only Jesus brings me hope through all my trials. On my knees, on my knees, bowed in prayer, I can take all of my trials to God and gently lay them there. He still hears, dries my tears. Only Jesus brings me hope through all my trials. Burden low, burden low, full of care, sorrows weighed my shoulders down and filled me with despair. But God knows mercy shows. Only Jesus brings me hope through all my trials.
Amen. We'd like to say good afternoon to each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. This is Pastor Mike Peavy, Evangeling Minister, Evangelist at the Golgotha Church of Christ here in Chicago, Illinois. And we come to you today for our radio broadcast, Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. And today, we're going to be dealing with anger. Today, our topic we're going to be dealing with is anger. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it mind-boggling? Sometimes that anger gets the most of us. We're going to talk to you from the subject matter, controlling anger before it controls you. Controlling anger before it controls you. Well, what is anger? Anger is a serious obstacle to having a harmonious relationship within oneself and or within a group or a body. There are two category forms of anger. Human anger, which is what we will talk about today, and divine anger, which will be our subject matter for tomorrow. What is anger? Easton's Bible Dictionary describes anger as such: the emotion of instant displeasure on account of something evil that presents itself to our view. In itself, it is an original susceptibility of our nature, just as love is, and is not necessarily sinful. It may become sinful when causeless. It may become sinful when it's excessive, or it may become sinful when it is protracted. The Bible instructs us accordingly in Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, thou shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. The Colossian letter, Colossians 3:8, says it this way. But now ye put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. The Ephesian letter, Church of Ephesus, Paul writes this to them in Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So today we're going to be talking about controlling anger before anger controls you. Isn't it interesting that if anger is not dealt with, it will begin to run in cycles. Something will trigger, a triggering event will take place, which can be anything from getting stuck in traffic, being criticized or contradicted, being made to rage, or something that is not working properly, something that seems to be broken, to trigger an emotion in you. Well, then all of a sudden you'll have a negative automatic thought process. Maybe lead to a reaction. You may hear something like, that idiot, I hate my job. How dare they talk to me that way? They are treating me like I'm stupid or treating me like I'm a child. So you get this negative thoughts that pass through your head, which many times will come into an emotional response or emotional reaction of frustration, anger, or even escalation of rage. If not dealt with, you can have some physical symptoms in your physical body. Your body will react to your emotions, and many times you are unaware of such, so you'll start shaking or tensing up. You'll start having heavy breathing and clenched fists. Maybe your heart will start racing fast, or you'll start seeing red. There will be a behavioral response, because in response to negative automatic thoughts, in response to emotions, and in response to physical symptoms, you may see a result of shouting, arguing, criticizing, verbal or physical attack on another person, or just out and out throwing or breaking objects. Controlling anger is so important, because if we don't control anger, anger will control us. Have you ever felt like, man, you went from 0 to 10 so fast, or even 5 to 60 so fast, and now your temper is raging. You feel like a volcano. You have left the state of David Banner, and now you feel like the Incredible Hulk. You're seeing green. You're feeling green. You feel your emotion. Well, as we talk about anger, this information is meant to help us to understand and to control anger. And I want to keep us in the mindset that some of the information, scientific information, will come from the APA, the American Psychological Association, as it studies anger accordingly. We all know what anger is, and we've all felt it. Whether it becomes a fleeting annoyance or it turns into a full-fledged rage, we recognize anger when we're there. Folks, life happens. Let me say that again. Life happens. Life will be filled with frustration, filled with pain, filled with loss. Life will be filled with the unpredictable actions of others. And the thing about it is, you can't change that. But what you can change is the way that you allow or the way you let events affect you. Controlling your angry responses can keep them from making you even more unhappier in the long run. Once again, anger is a completely normal, usually healthy, human emotion. But when this emotion gets out of control, it turns destructive. It can lead to problems. Problems maybe at work, problems maybe at home, problems maybe in your personal relationships, problems possibly at church, or it can lead to problems in your overall quality of life. It can actually make you feel as though you are at the mercy of this unpredictable and powerful emotion. It's now in control. Well, anger has, as we talked about, it has two forms of categories. We see the nature of anger, and then we see the expression of anger. Once again, the nature of anger. Let's take a look at that. As we look at the nature of anger, anger is an emotional state that varies in intensity from a mild irritation to intense fury and rage. Charles Spielberg, a PhD, a psychologist who specializes in the study of anger, gives that as its definition. Much like other emotions, it is accompanied by physiological and biological changes. See, when you get angry, your heart rate and your blood pressure go up, as do the level of your energy hormones, your adrenaline, and your noradrenaline. Anger can be caused by both external and internal events. You could be angry at a specific person, such as a coworker, a spouse, or a supervisor. You can be angry at a specific event, like a traffic jam, being cut off in the grocery store, a canceled flight. Or your anger can be caused by worrying or brooding about your personal problems. Memories of traumatic and enraging events can also trigger angry feelings. The nature of anger can sometimes be just that way. However, the expression of anger is an instinctive, natural way to express anger as a response, and many times we do it in an aggressive fashion. You've never responded aggressively? Yes, you have. See, anger is a natural, adaptive response to threats. It inspires powerful, often aggressive feelings and behaviors. which allow us to fight and to defend ourselves when we are attacked. It's a protective barrier. It's a covering. A certain amount of anger, therefore, is necessary for our survival. On the other hand, we can't physically lash out at every person we come in contact with, every event or every object that irritates or annoys us. We can't lash out at laws, social norms, or common sense situations that places limits on how far our anger can take us. We have to be able to maintain ourselves, and the truth being, many times that's not the case. People use a variety of both conscious and unconscious processes to deal with angry feelings. Well, there are three main approaches to dealing with the expression of anger: expressing, suppressing, and calming. Again, three major approaches for dealing with the expression of anger: expressing, suppressing, and calming. Let's look at expressing. Expressing your angry feelings is an assertive, not aggressive manner. It is the healthiest way to express your anger. To do this, you have to learn how to make clear what your needs are and how to get them met without hurting others. Being assertive doesn't mean being pushy. Being assertive does not mean being demanding. It means being respectful of yourself and respectful of others. That's expressing. Let's look at suppressing. Anger can be suppressed and then converted and redirected. This happens when you hold in your anger, stop thinking about it, and focus on something positive. The aim is to inhibit or suppress your anger and convert that anger into some more constructive behavior. Amen, somebody. The danger in this type of response is that if it isn't allowed outward expression, your anger can turn inward on yourself. And anger that turns inward may cause hypertension, high blood pressure, and/or depression. Unexpressed anger can create some other problems as well. It can lead to pathological expressions of anger, such as passive-aggressive behavior, getting back at people indirectly without telling them why, rather than confronting them head-on. It can be a personality that seems perpetually cynical and or hostile. People who are constantly putting others down, people who are constantly criticizing everything, people who are constantly making cynical comments haven't learned how to constructively express their anger. Not surprisingly, they are likely to have many successful relationships as well. Well, let's look at calming. Finally, you get yourself even calmed down inside. This means not just controlling your outward behavior, but also controlling your internal responses, taking steps to lower your heart rate, taking steps to calm yourself down and let your feelings subside. When none of these three techniques work, expressing, suppressing, and calming, that's when someone or something is going to get hurt. So we must face our anger issue. And we must come in contact with managing it in some type of way. Anger management is so important that it can save your life and maybe save someone else's as well. See, the goal of anger management is to reduce both your emotional feelings and the physiological arousal that anger causes. You can't get rid of it or avoid it, the things or other people that enrage you. Nor can you change them, but you can learn to control your reactions. Are you too angry? Well, that's a question we all must ask ourselves. Do we get too angry? There are psychological tests that measure the intensity of angry feelings. How prone to anger are you? And how well do you handle it? But chances are good if you do have a problem with anger because you already know it. If you find yourself acting in ways that seem out of control and frightening, you might need to find better ways to deal with this emotion. But why are some people more angry than others? Great question. According to Jerry Deffenbacher, PhD, a psychologist who specializes in anger management, some people really are more hot-headed than others are. They get angry more easily and more intensely than the average person does. There are also those who don't show their anger in loud, spectacular ways, but are chronically irritable and grumpy. Easily angered people don't always curse and throw things. Sometimes easily angered people, they just withdraw socially, sulk, and get physically ill. Why are some people more angry than others? Well, people who are easily angered generally have what some psychologists call a low tolerance for frustration, for nonsense, meaning simply that they feel that they should not have to be subjective to this frustration. They should not have to be subjective to this inconvenience, nor this annoyance. They can't take things in stride, and they're particularly infuriated if the situation seems somehow unjust. For example, the ring gets corrected for a minor mistake. They fly off the handle, and they can't seem to let it go. Well, what makes people this way? Well, there's a number of things. It's hard to pinpoint one or another. But one cause may be genetic or physiological. There seems to be some evidence that some children are born more irritable or more touchy and easily angered than others. And these signs are present at very early age. And another situation might be they just may be sociocultural. Anger is often regarded as negative. We're taught that it's all right to express anxiety. It's all right to express depression. And it's all right to express other emotions. But it's not all right to express anger. As a result, we don't learn how to handle anger or channel it constructively. Well, why are some people more angry than others? Research has also found that family background sometimes plays a major role. Yet typically, people who are easily angered come from families that are disrupted, chaotic, and not skilled at emotional communications. I have a question for you. Is it good to just let it all hang out? Is it good to let it all hang out? Many psychologists now say that this is a dangerous myth. Because some people use this theory as a license to hurt others. I'm just letting it all hang out. And I hide behind that license. Research has found that letting it rip with anger actually escalates anger and aggression and does nothing to help you or the person you're angry with resolve the situation. Amen, somebody. It's best to find out what it is that triggers your anger, and then to develop strategies to keep those triggers from tipping you over the edge. We'll give you a few strategies today that we were able to come in contact with to help us to keep our anger at bay. First one is relaxation. We all need to relax sometimes, right? There are many simple relaxation tools such as deep breathing or relaxing imagery. And they can help us calm down our angry feelings. There are books and courses that can teach us relaxation techniques. And once we learn those techniques, we can call upon them in any situation. If you're involved in a relationship where both parties are hot-tempered, it might be a good idea for both of you to learn these techniques. But here are some simple steps you can try. Breathing deeply from your diaphragm. Breathing from your chest area will relax you. Picture your breath coming up from your gut. Slowly repeat a calm word or phrase, such as relax, take it easy. I'm doing all right. Repeat it to yourself while breathing deeply. Maybe even use imagery. Visualize a relaxing experience from either your memory or your imagination. The non-strenuously slow yoga-like exercises can relax your muscles and make you feel more calm. Practicing these techniques daily can help you learn to use them automatically when you're in a very tense situation. Another situation may be cognitive restructuring. Simply put, this means changing the way you think. And in many cases, that's more easily said than done. But it's been noted. Do you know that angry people tend to curse, swear, or speak in highly colorful terms that reflect their inner thoughts? When you're angry, your thinking can get very exaggerated and overly dramatic. Try replacing these thoughts with more rational ones. For instance, instead of telling yourself, oh, it's awful, it's terrible, everything is ruined, tell yourself it's frustrating and it's understandable that I'm upset about it, but it's not the end of the world, and I'm getting angry, and it's not going to fix it anyway, anytime soon or anyhow. It's going to be all right. Be careful to use words like never, always, when talking about yourself or someone else. But this is a machine that never works. You're always forgetting things. How does that make people feel? And the thing is that when you say that, you're not just inaccurate. They also serve to make you feel that your anger is justified and that there's no way to solve the problem itself. Those statements alienate and humiliate people who might otherwise be willing to work with you on a solution. Remind yourself that getting anger is not going to fix anything, that it won't make you feel better and may actually make you feel worse. Logic defeats anger because anger, when it's justified, can quickly become irrational. But when we use cold, hard logic on ourselves, when we remind ourselves that the world is not out to get us, we're just experiencing some of the rough spots of daily living in our daily life. Do this each time you feel angry. Anytime you feel that anger is getting the best of you, do this. Talk to yourself. And it'll help you become more balanced and have a more balanced perspective. Again, angry people tend to demand things, fairness, appreciation, agreement, willingness to do things their way. Everyone wants these things. And we're all hurt and disappointed when we don't get them. But angry people demand them. And when their demands are met, their disappointment becomes anger. Angry people need to become aware of their demanding nature and translate their expectations into desires. In other words, saying, I would like something is healthier than saying I demand or I must have something. If you're able to get what you want, you will experience the normal reactions of frustration, disappointment, and hurt, but not anger. Some angry people use this anger as a way to avoid hurt feelings, but that doesn't mean the hurt will go away. Well, let's look at problem solving. That's another way of keeping anger at bay, problem solving. Sometimes our anger and frustrations are caused by very real and inescapable problems in our lives. Not all anger is misplaced, and often it's a healthy, natural response to these difficulties. There is also a cultural belief that every problem has a solution, and it adds to the frustration to find out that it isn't always the case. The best attitude to bring to a situation, then, is not to focus on finding a solution, but rather on how to handle its face and face the problem. Make a plan and check your progress along the way. Resolve to give it your best, but also not to punish yourself if an answer doesn't come right away. If you can approach it with your best intentions and efforts and make a serious attempt to face it head on, you will be less likely to lose patience, fall into a all-for-nothing thinking, even if the problem does not get solved right away. Another way of keeping anger at bay is to have some better communication. Because angry people tend to jump up and act on conclusions, and some of those conclusions can become very inaccurate. The first thing to do if you're in a heated discussion is just slow down and think through your responses. Slow down and think through your responses. Don't say the first thing that comes to your head, but slow down and think carefully about what you want to say. At the same time, listen carefully to what the other person is saying and take your time before answering. Let's look at better communication as a way to keep anger at bay. We need to listen to what is underlying the anger. Many times there's something up under the surface that's being hid by the anger. For instance, if you like a certain amount of freedom in personal space, and your significant other wants more connection and closeness, if he or she starts complaining about your activities, don't retaliate by painting your partner as a jailer, a warden, or an albatross around their neck. It's natural to get defensive when you're criticized, but don't fight back. Instead, this is what you do. Listen to what the underlying words are saying. Listen to the message that the person might be feeling neglected and unloved. It may take a lot of patience, questioning on your part, and it may require some breathing space, but don't let your anger or your partner's anger let a discussion spin out of control. Keeping your cool can keep the situation from becoming a disastrous one. Silly humor. Humor itself. Using humor can also be a great way to keep anger at bay. Because silly humor can diffuse or help diffuse rage in a number of ways. But one thing, it can help you get a more balanced perspective. When you're angry or someone calls a name or refers to them in some unimaginable phrase, stop and picture what that word would literally look like. If you're at work and you think of a coworker as a dirtbag, or a single cell life form, or some other good name, picture a large bag full of dirt, like an amoeba, sitting at your colleague's desk, talking on the phone, going to meetings. Do this whenever a name comes to your head about another person. You can draw a picture of what the actual thing might look like. And this will take a lot of the edge off of your fury, and humor can always be relied upon to help unknot a tense situation. As we use humor, it always has an underlying message of highly angry people. For highly angry people always is a thing that will go their way. Angry people tend to feel that they are morally right, that any blocking or changing of their plans is unbearable indignity, and they should not have suffered this way. Maybe other people do. Maybe other people should, but not them. When you feel that urge, picture yourself as a supreme ruler who owns the streets and stores and office space, striding alone and having your way in all situations while others defer to you. The more detail you can get into your imaginary scenes, the more chances you have to realize that maybe you are being unreasonable. Look at this. You'll always realize how unimportant the things you're angry are will really come to the forefront. But there's two cautions in using humor. First, don't try to just laugh off your problems, but rather use humor to help yourself face them more constructive. Don't give in to harsh sarcastic humor. That's just another unhealthy, angry expression. What these techniques have in common is a refusal to take yourself too seriously. Anger is a serious emotion that is often accompanied by ideas that, if examined, can make you laugh. Another way to keep our anger at bay is by just changing your environment. Because sometimes it's our immediate surroundings that give us cause for irritation and fury. Amen, somebody. Problems and responsibilities can weigh on you and make you feel angry, and the trap you seem to have fallen into, and all the people and things that form that trap. But can I suggest something to you today? Give yourself a break. Be a little more kinder to yourself. Make sure that you have some personal time scheduled for times of the day that you know you are particularly stressful. For example, is a working mother who has a standing rule that when she comes home from work, for the first 15 minutes, nobody talks to mom unless the house is on fire. After this brief quiet time, she feels better prepared to handle demands from her kids without blowing up at them. Another way of keeping anger at bay is just timing. If you or your spouse tend to fight when you discuss things, perhaps you're just tired, perhaps you're distracted, or maybe it's just become a habit for the two of you. Try changing the times when you talk about important matters so these talks don't turn into arguments. In other words, keeping your anger at bay might just be avoidance altogether. If your child's chaotic room makes you furious every time you walk into it or walk by it, just shut the door. Don't make yourself look at what infuriates you. Don't say, well, my child should clean up the room, so I don't have to be angry. No, that's not the point. The point is to keep yourself calm. And once you're calm, you may be able to discuss this room situation that needs to be cleaned. Finding alternatives is another way of keeping your anger at bay. But if your daily commute through traffic leaves you in a state of rage and frustration, give yourself a project. Learn or map out a different route. One that's less congested and maybe more scenic. Or find another alternative, such as the bus or a commuter train. But do one major important thing for yourself. Keep yourself calm. Anger management is so important. And I just listed to you 9 strategies that help to keep anger at bay. But because we are also psychological beings, and not just physiological beings, sometimes our psyche can have some problems. So do you need counseling? Nothing wrong with counseling if you need counseling. If you feel that your anger is really out of control, if it is having an impact on your relationships and on important parts of your life, you might consider counseling to learn how to handle it better. A psychologist or other licensed mental health professional can work with you in developing a range of techniques for changing your thinking and your behavior. If it's spiritual counseling you need, hopefully it will be a pastor, evangelist, teacher, Bible school teacher, someone that you look up to or at church that can help you or maybe lead you in the right direction. When you talk to a prospective therapist, tell her or him that you have problems with anger, that you want to work on, and ask about his or her approach to anger management. Make sure this isn't only a course of action designed to put you in touch with your feelings and to express them. That may be precisely what your problem is. With counseling, psychologists say a highly angry person can move closer to the middle range of anger in about 8 to 10 weeks, depending on the circumstances and the techniques used. So there is a process of helping yourself deflate from all this anger. You can get yourself back under control. But what you probably haven't heard of too much is instead of counseling all the time, maybe what you really need is that you have a weakness in assertiveness training. See, being assertive is different than being aggressive. Let me say that again. Being assertive is different than being aggressive. It's true that angry people need to learn to become assertive rather than aggressive, but most books or courses on developing assertiveness are aimed at people who don't feel enough anger. These people are more passive than the average person. These people tend to let others walk all over them than the average person. That isn't something that most angry people will do. But still, there's books that contain some useful tactics to use in frustrating situations. Once again, I want to remind us that life happens. And you and I must remember that you can eliminate anger, but you can't eliminate anger, we must remember that you cannot completely eliminate anger, you can manage it. And it wouldn't be a good idea if you could just get rid of anger altogether. because there are some benefits to having anger constructively. In spite of all your efforts, things will happen that will cause you to become angry. And sometimes it will be justifiable anger. But I want you to remember one thing before I close. Life will be filled with frustrations, pain, loss, and unpredictable actions of others. You can't change that. But what you can change is the way you let such events, such people, such things affect you. Controlling your angry responses can keep them from making you even more unhappy in the long run. Remember, Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Tomorrow we're going to be dealing with, we're going to start a lesson dealing with divine anger. We looked at anger from a human perspective. Father God, thank you for this word and thank you for this lesson today. We pray that it falls not on deaf ears, but that it will be able to help someone in the radio land and those that hear it. Father, we pray for all those that have came, and we thank you on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to our callers. That might be my mother there. Is that you, Mom?
Yeah, I'm here, baby. God bless you.
God bless you. You have any comments on the lesson today?
Well, I think that the topic that you chose is a very necessary one for the body of Christ. Because people seem to think that just because you get saved that you don't ever have any problems and, you know, you agree with everything and everything's a flowery bed of ease, and that is not so. And there will be things that happen, as you just stated, that will make you angry. And there will be things that justifiably will make you angry. But the Word says, as you said, be angry but sin not. And we have to learn how. We even have to learn how to express whatever it is that we need to express to our loved ones and friends. There will be things you have to say, hard things that you have to say to your spouse, hard things that you have to say to your children. Amen. And we have to learn how to control that. And one thing is very clear, and I've learned this down through the years, when people do a whole lot of jesting and joking, a lot of times they're covering up for pain and anger down on the inside of them. And so you have to realize that, because when that pain comes out, it comes out fierce. And so we have to deal with that. We have to admit that we have that and deal with it. And the Lord will help us. The Lord will help us because we're human beings. You know, we're not the angels. We're not angels. We're human beings. And so there's things that's going to come up in our flesh that we would prefer not to come up. And then there's also a righteous indignation. So some things happening in the world that you ought to be mad about. You ought to be angry. If the devil is destroying your family, you should be angry about that. If there are some things that are happening that are just not right, but we have to learn how to express the anger so we won't end up being sinners. Because anger can destroy you. It can destroy your family. It can get you killed. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what you're doing, it'll get you killed. So we got to be careful. And that was, these topics that you're bringing, yesterday with zeal and today with anger, are some things that we need to learn in the body of Christ. And so I'm proud of you for bringing those particular topics to the line, and I believe that there will be some out there in radio land that will be blessed because of the word that you brought on today. So God bless you, son.
Appreciate that, Mom. Thank you so very much. Let's see. Is anyone else? A couple other folks are on. I don't know the names or the numbers, but any comments today that you would have on the lesson? Or words of encouragement, or just statements of situations that you've heard. It's open to you at this time. All right. Well, that's fine. We're just glad that you were able to tune in today. Tune in tomorrow at 12:30 again. We're going to be talking about anger again, but we're going to talk from the other category of a divine anger. God has anger. That's not human anger. And so many times we want to be a God, a little g, and be able to handle things ourselves. But we need to see how God deals with anger, because God's wrath is nothing to play with. Have a great day, and we pray that the lesson has blessed you. Share it with somebody, and tell them what you're doing, and bring them to Blog Talk Radio at 12 o'clock for Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. Have a great evening. God bless.